Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. John Harding, a professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Harding.
My pleasure to be with you today.
Researchers with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine are using Brachyspira as a model in the development of vaccines to protect pigs from swine dysentery. First of all, what is Brachyspira? What are the animal health implications of this bacteria? And why is it the focus of the work in developing swine dysentery vaccines?
Brachyspira is a genus of bacteria. There are a number of species within that genus that affect pigs, and some of those cause diarrhea. The common ones that we recognize of importance for the swine industry are Brachyspira hyodysenteriae, Hampstoniae, and Pilosicola. And the significance for animal health is varying degrees of diarrhea, anything from a wet cement type looseness to a full-blown bloody diarrhea. And the focus of our swine dysentery research is to develop a vaccine that prevents the swine dysentery, which is the most severe form of diarrhea, typically associated with bloody and mucoid discharge.
What challenges have researchers encountered in developing swine dysentery vaccines, and what has been the significance of those obstacles?
It's been a really challenging venture to develop these vaccines. Swine dysentery was discovered in the early 1970s, and shortly after that, you know, various researchers around the world have attempted to produce vaccines of different types. Some of those vaccines are killed whole cell bacteria. Some of those are subunit vaccines where parts of the bacteria are expressed. And the real challenges are that the gut is a hard place to generate an immune response. And secondary to that, when it does, the immune response is fairly weak and really most specific to the individual strain of bacteria that's in the vaccine. So gaining heterologous protection has been a real challenge, but gaining any protection has had significant challenges over the years.
How difficult is Brachyspira specifically, and why?
I think Brachyspira is particularly challenging because, you know, in itself, the bacteria is very hard to work with. It doesn't grow well in culture, so that means it's difficult to grow large volumes of the bacteria to do an inoculation study. And I think more importantly is, even after, you know, 30 to 40 years of research, we really don't have a clear understanding of what the virulence factors of the bacteria are. So what that means is essentially, what does the bacteria have on its outer surface, or what does it excrete while in the intestine that induces disease? So one common example of that is we don't really know how blood is lost into the intestinal tract in a Brachyspira infection. One would expect that if you had a hemorrhagic diarrhea or bloody diarrhea, that the mucosal surfaces of the intestine would be, you know, very damaged and there'd be just free blood leaking into the intestine, but that doesn't seem to happen. So basic mechanisms of disease are still really unknown, even though we've been studying this bacteria for many years.
How important is the diagnosis, the differentiation between the different species, and what approaches are being taken in the area of diagnostics at this point?
That's a very good question. There are six different species of Brachyspira that may infect a pig, but only three of them potentially four, but three of them will certainly well documented to cause disease. So first step in diagnosis is identifying if a brachyspira is present, or maybe more specifically, if one of the pathogenic brachyspiras are present in the gut. And we have a diagnostic service at WCVM, which uses various techniques, you know, whether that's culture or one of several different PCR tests that will answer those questions of whether there is a brachyspira present, or more specifically, if a given species of brachyspira are present. From a farmer's perspective, that is absolutely essential. If bloody diarrhea is seen on the farm, or even just if diarrhea is seen on the farm, and I'm specifically talking about the girlfinish population here, the key to control is to understand which organism is there, whether it's a brachyspira or whether it's a Lawsonia or an E. coli or many of the other organisms we deal with. So proper diagnosis is important. We certainly have the tools and techniques to do that today, and it doesn't necessarily mean sacrificing animals. We do most of our diagnostics, probably 80 to 90%, just on fecal samples. Important thing being, collect the correct fecal sample on the farm and get it to the lab as quickly as you can.
What approach is being taken to the development of vaccines to prevent brachyspira-associated swine dysentery?
We've been on this route for about 10 years now, and we started off studying specifically Brachyspira hamsonii because that is the most common brachyspira causing diarrhea in Western Canada. We've since moved into Brachyspira hyodysenteriae, but we are hoping that whatever vaccine we develop will cross-protect against both of those two species, and that's a big challenge. Getting a vaccine to protect against the same species is going to be a challenge enough, but we've got big dreams here. So we've got a couple of research projects underway. We have previously attempted vaccination with a variant live bacteria that you would feed orally. We have tried whole cell killed Bacterin, where the bacteria is basically grown up, killed, busted up, and then injected as a vaccine. Now we're moving into the subunit approach, where we believe we have identified a couple of key proteins that are involved in virulence. And certainly those proteins, we call them protein 1 and protein 2. In vitro tests, they certainly can lyse cells, including red blood cells and epithelial cells. So we know they're very potent and biologically active. And now we're in the process of essentially formulating vaccines and injecting those intramuscularly in an attempt to induce an immune response in the gut, which will then protect against dysentery.
How do these subunit vaccines work, and what advantages do they offer, and why?
Yeah. So the challenge with producing immunity in the intestine is the best way to do that is to actually vaccinate or provide the antigen, present it to the gut. So, you know, that would be by far the best way. But the challenge in doing that is that any protein that you put in the feed orally will potentially be digested, either break down in the stomach or break down by digestive enzymes in the small intestine. The challenge with brachyspira is it is a disease of the large intestine, which is at the hind gut, is what we call it. It means any of those antigens need to travel through, you know, 10 to 15 meters of small intestine before you get to the colon. And there is no good technique now that would allow, you know, a protein to be encapsulated and bypass all of those digestive enzymes to get to the hindgut. Whoever in the world discovers that is going to be very rich and famous. But what we're left with is basically intramuscular vaccination. So with a combination of the correct antigen and the correct adjuvant, and there are many different adjuvants on the market, we're hoping to find a combination that can be used injectably that induces a very good, what we call secretory IgA response. So that means antibodies specifically produced by gut cells, we call those IgA antibodies, that will then neutralize the bacteria that is propagating in the hind colon. So that is our goal. That is easy to do with the subunit protein, because once you determine which proteins are really important, and there could be many proteins, and the nice thing about this, you could continue to add those subunit proteins into the vaccine. So there could be 4, 5, or 6, and they all may have an additive effect. So everyone you add may help a little bit, but they're generally easy to produce in a manufacturing facility, or, you know, in our case, in a laboratory. There are many different, what we call expression systems. So we can cut out, very similar to what we've done with COVID, we can cut out the sequence for that protein. We can put it into an E. coli or a yeast cell. And then in our case, E. coli will propagate and produce that protein. It can be purified and it can be put in a bottle and mixed with an adjuvant. So that's kind of the advantage of subunit vaccines, is that once you identify the right protein, they're relatively easy to grow and produce. Unlike growing Brachyspira, the organism, which is very expensive because the media required to grow it is very, very expensive, and it grows very, very slowly, and it's finicky when it grows. So subunit is going to be far more cheap, efficient, and effective if we can get this system to work.
Where does the effort stand at this point in terms of the development of these vaccines, this approach?
Yeah, so we're making progress. You know, it's remarkable how COVID vaccine came out within a year, because we've been down this road for 10 years struggling with Brachyspira. So we've identified two proteins, and we've been working with them exclusively for the last couple of years. A colleague has identified a protein 3 and potentially a protein 4, which have kind of different mechanisms. So they may come down the road in years to follow. But we have developed the expression systems so we can produce and purify these two proteins efficiently. One of the proteins, or I guess both of the proteins, the challenge we've got is finding the right adjuvant at this point in time to induce a very high antibody response. Our present status is we can induce an antibody response, and that's in mice or in pigs with one of the proteins. It's just not high enough, and it needs to be much higher, we think, in order to create that secretory IgA response in the intestine. So our present focus is on finding the right balance between antigen of these proteins and the correct adjuvant in order to induce this high secretory IgA response. So we've got ongoing studies. We've gone forward, and now we've taken a step or two back. We've just started a trial in mice with a couple of different techniques and adjuvants to try to get a better immune response. And if those are successful, then we'll take it to the next step. And we'll either try that in pigs, select the right antigen and adjuvant combination, or we'll do a challenge study depending on the results.
Do we have any anticipated time frames at this point?
Yeah, I wish I would be as successful as the COVID researchers and get something out within a year. But it's challenging. I think it all depends on how long it takes us to define the right adjuvant combination. Once we induce antibodies that are very high, then I think we're in a very good position to test those vaccines in an experimental model. So it'll be a challenge model in the lab. And, you know, if we could show 60, 70% efficacy, you know, in a proof of concept type experiment, then I think we had something we could move forward on towards into the, you know, the more feasibility and commercial testing phase. But timeline, we're still likely years away from anything hitting the market if we're successful. Unfortunately, research takes time.
Who would make use of this research, benefit from this work, and how and to what ends?
Yeah, the goal, the target is, you know, pig producers around the world. And I think there's two scenarios in that. You know, in Canada, we don't see a lot of swine dysentery. We do see diarrhea, growth finish diarrhea. There may be brachyspirals involved in that. But we're fairly fortunate because we have a relatively clean, you know, national swine herd. But certainly bloody diarrhea is a problem. There's lots of Hampsonii out there. And it's particularly challenging, particularly if you have a breeding stock company. So I think one target would be, you know, Canada, and that would be our primary initial target because we've been supported generously by, you know, the Canadian governments, provincial governments in our research. But I think in the bigger scheme of things, there is a lot of swine dysentery around the world, and there's a lot of grow finish medications being used around the world. And we know that in the future, there will be, you know, less and less antibiotics used. And my theory is when we see those antibiotics being pulled back, we will normally see, naturally see an increase in diarrhea, and some of that will be associated with that, with brachyspira. So I think swine dysentery will become a greater disease moving forward, you know, as these antibiotics are pulled back. So therefore, the ultimate target of whatever vaccine we produce would be, you know, the global swine market, particularly in the growth industries.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, I always want to acknowledge our funders. And in this case, our brachyspira research has been funded by, you know, Saskatchewan ADF, Alberta Ag and Forestry, and in this case, Saskatchewan Pork as well. We've had other projects that have wrapped up, you know, supported by, you know, some commercial partners as well as the Ag Innovations Program as well. So there's lots of people that have contributed to this. We've got good support from producers, and want to thank Olimel and Prairie Swine Center for providing pigs over the years. And then, of course, the team of researchers and technicians at the college who have really been doing all the hard work in the lab and in the animal care units to bring us to this point.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bruce. It's really been a pleasure to speak to you today.
Our guest has been Dr. John Harding, a professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.